I wish I was smart at anything as this. And I was like, well, all you got to do is make it your only hobby. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde, and it took us exactly 1 week to go back on recording on Wednesdays because it got to Wednesday and we're like, hey, we don't have any injury reports for this weekend. That's right. We can only, if we're covering that weekend's games, we probably need to wait. So we're here on our normal Friday night slot. So we'll be talking about all six games this weekend. Rather than what we're looking for, we have the format who wins, and it's a couple matchups in the game. So that's what we'll be doing today, and then we're going to be building a one-and-done fantasy lineup. So you can use this is the BBFL Overtime. I don't know what that stands for, but it's Brian.
Big Booty Fantasy League.
Big Booty Fantasy League. Brian Sklar, friend of the website. He's never been on the podcast, but he runs it. It's a lot of fun. You can only use each player once, and you can use any players, but only once. And so we're going to build that lineup. It's the official lineup of the podcast. So, Walker, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, just been watching some golf, the Hawaii golf. It's pretty fun to see the pros do it again.
Pros? Were you just watching amateurs? Walker going to the golf course being like, man, Why are you like four over par, dog? What's going on here?
Yeah, it couldn't be me, buddy. Yeah. I've never shot four over par. But no, they just had some time off.
Oh, okay. It was all-star break. All-star break.
Basically.
All right. Mike, how's it going for you?
It's going all right. I was watching Ohio State and Texas play. It was 7-7. Right before halftime with like 18 seconds left, and Trevion Henderson took it to the house with 75 yards, so 14-7 now at halftime.
Yeah, nice. That was a nice run. I saw that. It was a dump off pass. It was a catch and run.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a nice running on his part on that catch. So also everybody's freaking out because I guess somebody has a ganglion cyst. I don't know. I just got home from work, so I didn't see what it is. I'm guessing it's
Ohio State quarterback Will Howard.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm guessing based on the complexion that it was a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, he's got he looks like he has an actual Buckeye under his skin on his left hand.
Yeah, it does.
Do you know how to, like, the easy way to get rid of those?
Stick a needle in and drain it?
You can do that. That's the proper way to do it. But they're called Bible cysts, because if you take a heavy book and smash it, you can pop it under the skin and it dissipates. as you guess by the name, that's how they used to do it in the olden days,
folks. Yeah, that sounds bad.
Yeah, I'm guessing, considering you have to take a heavy book and smash it, that hurts a lot.
you don't say.
Yeah. All right, speaking of things that hurt a lot, who's ready for the designated first game of the playoffs? The Texans. They have been the first game of the playoffs. Yeah, I think I saw a thing. I think it's going back to like 2016. Every time they've made the playoffs, they've been the first game.
Really?
Yeah, because they're always like 10-7, 8-9, 9-7. You know, back when they only played 16 games back in the old days. So they're like, let's just get this out of the way. Let's just get this out of the way. Although they did have one of my favorite moments of all time. J.J. Watt picking off, I don't know who it was. At the line of scrimmage.
Oh, wasn't it? Wasn't that the game where it was like T.J. Yates against Connor Cook?
Yes. Yes. That's why I don't remember. It was Connor Cook.
Yeah. Shout out Michigan State legend Connor Cook.
Yeah. That's, for some reason, that's the game that moment. I will always remember where I was for that moment of the playoffs. And I don't know why it was that moment. I was at a wing place in downtown San Jose.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it was Fire. No, it wasn't Fire Wings. It was called Cluck U originally, and then they changed the name. I don't know. It's the place where the guy goes to eat on Man vs. Food in San Jose to eat a bunch of chicken wings. That's where I was.
I think it's called Fire something.
Is it right? It's not Fire Wings, is it? Because there's a different Fire Wings. Cluck U, San Jose. Cluck U. Oh, Smoke Eaters. That's what it was. Smoke Eaters. Smoke Eaters. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's been a little bit of a micro San Jose culinary stuff. But let's talk the game. Chargers, the fifth seed, take on the Texans, the fourth seed. Chargers are 11-6. Texans are 10-7. Chargers, 2.5-point road favorites, 42.5-point over under. Injuries in this one. Josh Palmer is out. Jasir Taylor is doubtful. Eli Apple, J.K. Dobbins, Simi Fehoko, Quentin Johnston, Denzel Perryman, and Trey Pipkins are all questionable. J.K. Dobbins and Quentin Johnston are both supposed to be good to go. Simi Fehoko was activated off of IR, so he should probably be good to go. For the Texans, Shaq Mason and Tegan Quatoriano are both out. Denico Autry, John Mechie, and Christian Harris are questionable. So, Walker, you're going to kick this off with us for the Chargers question in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm looking at who will win, Justin Herbert, who has protected the ball quite well this season, or the Texans ball hawks. Texans have two players with five interceptions on the season, rookie safety Kalen Bullock and all-pro corner Derek Stingley Jr. So, yeah, wondering what your guys' thoughts are. Will Herbert continue to protect the ball, or will Houston get a couple, you know, some turnovers off of him?
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, the interesting thing about Herbert, too, is he only has thrown three interceptions this year. So I think he's going to be able to continue to protect that ball. And the running game is lackluster, which you really don't want to see in a playoff matchup. So I think they'll be throwing, you know, as much as a Harbaugh offense will allow it. But, yeah, I think if I have to pick a winner, it's going to be Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I think so too, but I think the matchup is going to be not so much Herbert versus the secondary. I think it's going to be more the Chargers offensive line versus the edge rushers, Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. So the Chargers, over their last three games, their three-game winning streak, allowed the second lowest pressure rate. So they've actually kind of gelled and come together, second lowest pressure rate in the league. And both Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson have over 50 pressures. Danielle Hunter has 90.
Mm. Wow.
Is that a lot? They are. This is from NFL Pro or pro.nfl.com. They have a combined 23 sacks, the third most among edge rushing duos in the NFL. So I think that it's really going to come down to the Chargers offensive line versus those two guys specifically on that side of the ball. Like if they can hurry Justin Herbert, like he could make, I think that a lot of that ball hawking does come down to pressuring the quarterback. And so I think that Justin Herbert does win for the same reason Mike said. They've done a very good job of protecting the ball, and that is a hallmark of Jim Harbaugh quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Like for all the talk about, oh, Colin Kaepernick throws a million interceptions, like no, Colin Kaepernick would throw the ball where if his player wasn't catching it, nobody was, and usually his player wasn't catching it. He had very few interceptions, same with Alex Smith under Jim Harbaugh, and same with Justin Herbert. They're taught to protect the ball first and foremost, so I don't think that they're going to be a lot of turnovers in this one. Justin Herbert is much better than Kaepernick and Alex Smith, so he's been a bit more dynamic, but he's still taught first and foremost. I think probably if I'm remembering in my memory banks, I think it was you can't score a touchdown if you don't have the ball is what I think the saying is for Jim Harbaugh. So it's very protective of his quarterbacks. So I think that I think that Justin Herbert wins that particular matchup.
Totally fair. I'm going to agree as well. I think we can spoil it based on our picks on this question. We all do have the Chargers winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Herbert turns the ball over a maximum of one time. And in a game where I don't expect either offense to be super high flying, I think that'll be enough to get the Chargers over the line.
Oh, yeah. I think 42.5, so that's what an implied total of what, like 23-20
essentially.
Yeah, 23-20, thank you. So, I mean, you're looking at not a super high scoring game. It's actually the lowest over under of the weekend. So, yeah, I think it's one turnover at most, and I think it's going to be a lot of just ball control a lot of, you know, 6-7 yard passes to Ladd McConkey and Will Disley and all that stuff. And then just kind of choking the Texans out. So speaking of the Texans, Mike, your question is about Nico Collins against the Chargers.
Yeah, and their pass defense. So Collins was wide receiver 21 on the year, but wide receiver 8 in points per game. He had over 1,000 yards in just 12 contests. And he also added 7 touchdowns in those 12 games as well. But on the other side, the Chargers hold a middle-of-the-road secondary, allowing the 14th most points to wide receivers. But the pass defense does hold quarterbacks accountable to an 87.1 rate, which is 7th in the NFL, and a 6.7 yards per attempt, which is 2nd. Finished 6th in sacks as well. So they really get to the quarterback on a low blitz rate. They don't blitz very much. They were 20th in blitzes.
Okay. I think it's Nico Collins just because he's all they have. So it's one of those things where it depends on how you define winning. Will his yards per target be great? I don't know. Probably not. But will he end up with a high like yardage at the end of the game? Probably. Because they're probably going to be throwing a whole bunch. Like, I mean, Joe Mixon can only go so far. You know, they're not going to be leaning on John Mechie and Xavier Hutchinson and Dalton Schultz as much as they are Nico Collins. Like, they paid him this offseason. They're going to give him they're going to target him until he throws up, basically. So I think that it's going to be a Nico Collins volume game. If you want to talk about like yards per attempt, I mean, probably the Chargers defense will win that battle. But if you're talking about like pure yardage, like for like if you're doing fantasy football purposes, I think that Nico Collins does have a good top line, you know, statistics, like, you know, like 8 catches, like 90 yards and maybe a score. But it's not going to be very like it's going to be on like 8 catches on like 14 targets.
Yeah, I mean, I would say similar. I think I would answer like both. Like I think Nico will do well, but I think pretty much nobody else is going to.
Yeah.
They don't have any other receivers that can get open. I don't really trust Dalton Schultz to beat the Chargers linebackers and safeties. I don't see where they move the ball through the air except with Nico. And honestly, the Chargers corners have, despite being young, have been pretty good this year. So if I was going to lean in a direction, I'd go Chargers pass defense, but I do think Collins will get his.
Yeah, I think he'll be very useful for fantasy, but it's going to be a rough go. So, okay. So, yeah, Walker mentioned we all have the Chargers winning this one. So
I have score predictions too.
Ooh, Walker has score predictions. What's your score prediction, Walker?
Chargers 20, Texans 13.
Give me Chargers 27, Texans 17. But it's going to be that the Chargers like kick a field goal or with like 4 minutes left to give them that cushion. Like it'll be closer than the double digit score seems. Mike, do you have a score prediction?
20-17 Chargers.
Dang. All right. So we all got the Chargers across the board. Okay. Saturday night game, 5:00. Steelers at Ravens. Steelers are 10-7. Ravens are 12-5. Baltimore 10-point favorites, 43.5-point over under. Injuries in this one. For the Steelers, Roman Wilson, Cole Holcomb, and Logan Lee are out. Mason McCormick and Calvin Anderson are questionable. For the Ravens, Deontay Hardy is questionable, probably the most impactful wide receiver injury they have. remember when I was in on Deontay Hardy? That was stupid. Zay Flowers is out with his knee injury that he suffered in week 18. So my question for this game, I was hearing a lot of pundits like, oh, you got to throw out what's been happening when the Ravens and the Steelers play each other. Oh, you got to throw it out. We heard that same nonsense 3 weeks ago.
And then Baltimore doubled them up.
Yeah, when the Ravens beat the brakes off the Steelers. Like, my question for this one, because I was literally sitting here like, I don't know. I can't come with an intriguing thing to talk about other than what Walker's question was. So who wins, my desire to watch football or my desire to have my Saturday night? Because here's the last four games for these two teams. The Ravens are 4-0 with an average score of 33-11. I'm sorry, 34-11. And the Steelers are 0-4 with an average score of 14-27. The Ravens are going to beat the brakes off the Steelers. Yeah. Like, I know people, you got to throw out everything. I'm sorry. Russell Wilson is losing it. George Pickens has lost his mind. Arthur Smith is doing Arthur Smith things. You know, they're trying to make the whole offense out of, like, Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth. Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, and Pat Freiermuth. It's not a high-ceiling offense. The Ravens' defense has turned a corner since they moved Kyle Hamilton back to safety. And the Ravens' offensive line is good enough to stop J.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith from really dominating them. This game's going to be over by halftime, is my prediction.
Wow.
I mean, we just saw them 34-17. We just saw this.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I think not having Flowers will contribute to Baltimore having less than 34 points.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be, I don't even think it's going to be a one score game. I have it 26-16 Baltimore.
Okay.
But I do believe that in this matchup that your desire to watch football is going to win out and you're still going to watch it.
Oh yeah, I'm a sicko. I'm an absolute sicko. Final score, I think it's going to be 28-31. Not 28, 18-31, sorry.
18-31.
18-31.
Okay, sure.
Chris Boswell, get ready, warm up that leg, buddy.
So many kicks, buddy.
Yeah, sorry, bud. You're going to kick, and then you're going to have to kick off. And then that's 12 kicks. Plus, that's 13 kicks, dude.
He's going nuts.
He's going crazy. He's kicking it 10 times, 15 times. Oh, there's a new 10 times, 15 times. It's running your dishwasher 4 times.
Oh, really? We've got a new one?
We got a new one, yeah. He was talking about low-flow dishwashers. He's like, they're in there. They're just pressing the button over and over. People got to run it 4 times.
Oh, my God. The guy's such an idiot.
Has he ever been near a dishwasher that he did not employ?
No.
Like, a dishwasher absolutely to him not. Is a person. It's not an appliance. Yeah, it's just very, very funny, and then a bunch of horrifying stuff. So we'll focus on the funny. All right. So Mike, who wins, my desire to watch football or my desire to have my Saturday night?
I think football is going to take over. In fact, I think you'll have two screens. You'll have a football screen and a movie screen, and you'll watch your favorite movie while you're watching football. But you'll be more attentive to the football game than the movie because you've seen the movie before.
Mike nailed it. What's probably going to happen is it's probably going to be like 14-0 with 6 minutes left, or 14-6 with 6 minutes left in the first half. I'm going to turn to Kate and I'm going to go, I can watch this on my tablet and we can put a movie on. That's probably exactly what's going to happen. Mike nailed it. Sorry, Walker, you get like 75% credit. Mike gets 100% credit.
That's fair. He delved a little deeper.
Yeah, he did. All right. So Walker, you have the other question for this one, and it's I think probably like the most intriguing thing in this whole game, and that's all the intrigue there is.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, my question: who wins, Baltimore's offensive line or Pittsburgh's front seven? Mike, we'll go to you.
Oh, that's a tough one. Jeez, both of them are really good standouts. This is going to be really the test of the game to see if they can, you know, make sure that Watt doesn't get his normal destruction of the football game. And then you got Highsmith, and I'm going to go Baltimore's offensive line. That spread has me a little bit more secured that Baltimore's offensive line is going to win this out. Watch probably for a lot of chip blocking from the tight end, from Freiermuth from Mark Andrews to help TJ Watt not get to Lamar Jackson so much. So my pick, Baltimore's offensive line.
Yeah, I think so too. Just because Again, this is from NFL Pro. A very useful resource. Last time they played in week 16, the Steelers blitzed Lamar Jackson on 68% of his dropbacks. The second highest blitz rate he's faced in his career. Man blitzes on 56% of dropbacks. And it's one of those things where it didn't work out for them. So either they drop more guys into coverage and the Ravens offensive line handles, you know, Highsmith and Watt easily, or they continue to fruitlessly blitz. In that game, 163 yards, one touchdown, 11 of 16 completions against the blitz. So I think that the Ravens offensive line, they have the number of the Steelers defense. And I really, really have no faith in the Steelers in this one. So I think the Ravens will win pretty handily. Derrick Henry will have a 50-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, I can see that.
Count it.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, that reminds me. I don't know, Walker, if you saw the question last night. Derrick Henry has 9 games of 100-plus rushing yards at over 30 years old. That's 9 of the 11 games this season. Never forget. Can you name the other 2 players over 30 who rushed for over 100 yards in a game this season?
Does Aaron Jones count?
No.
Okay. Amir Abdullah.
Correct.
Over 30. That's tough. There's not that many old running backs that are good. Gosh.
Mike, do you have a guess?
Nah, the only one I can think of is Raheem Mostert, but it's probably not him.
Nope. Do you guys want a hint?
Sure.
He's not a running back.
Oh, well, shit.
Do you know what he is?
Taysom Hill.
Punt protector. Yeah! Taysom Hill, 34 years young, baby, rushing for 100 yards. And then his whole body exploded.
Oh, yeah. He couldn't handle it.
He learned the cardinal rule of exercising too hard in your mid-30s. Your body will betray you.
No.
Also something I dug up, Lamar Jackson, literally one of the best pocket passers in the NFL this season. So big evolution for Lamar Jackson this year.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we all got the Ravens winning this one.
My score 26-16, Jeff's 31-18. Mike, what do you got?
I have, 24-10.
Ooh. Nice.
24-10. All right. Let's go to Sunday, the 10 a.m. game, and the Broncos versus the Bills. Broncos are the 7 seed, traveling to Orchard Park to take on the 2 seed Bills. Broncos are 10-7. Bills are 13-4. Buffalo, 8.5-point favorites, 47.5-point over under. And I forgot to check NFL weather. I am only really worried about Orchard Park. And there is, mostly cloudy, 6 miles per hour wind, no rain. So we are good on that one. Washington at Commanders has a 1% chance of rain, and that's the only one. So good stuff. All right. Good weather this weekend. All right. Injuries in this one. Something called a Frank Crum is out for the Broncos.
He's feeling crummy, folks.
Yeah, he's feeling crummy, folks. And then Tyler Bidet is questionable with a back injury. And then Brandon Codrington, Bills kick returner Brandon Codrington.
He's an undrafted rookie.
Okay. He's questionable. All right,
he's a decent returner.
Don't you ever interrupt me ever again.
Okay.
All right, Mike, who wins? The Broncos blitz or the... Sorry, Walker. The Broncos blitz attack or the Buffalo offensive line?
So the Broncos had 63 sacks this season, which was first among blitz. And then their blitz percentage was third, so... just sort of the opposite of what we were talking about previously with the Chargers and things. They blitz a lot and they get to the quarterback a lot. There was 6 Broncos with 5 or more sacks. On the flip side, the Bills gave up the fewest sacks, only 14 on the season. And even when they get blitzed, Allen doesn't sweat it. it just doesn't work negatively on Allen at all. He's had 16 touchdowns and one interception when he's been blitzed. So he'll tear you up even if you blitz him.
All right, Walker, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to give the advantage to Buffalo's O-line here. I think Denver will probably get like two sacks on the game, maybe one by Nick Bonito and one by Zach Allen or something. But I just don't think it's going to be consistent enough to slow down Buffalo, like drive to drive. I still think Buffalo will be able to make big plays over the middle of the field. I think that the what Buffalo did to Detroit a month ago, I think it's going to be a lot like that because Denver's linebackers are also pretty bad. And I mean, the Lions linebackers aren't bad now, but they certainly were in that game just due to injury. But Denver, I believe, is 30th in terms of covering running backs out of the backfield. So, yeah, I think Allen will have options to get the ball out of his hand quickly enough, even if the blitz attack is starting to work. I don't see Buffalo suddenly capitulating and not being able to protect Allen.
Yeah, I think that the big thing here that I really think about is Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Hypermobile. And that's the sort of thing where if you send too many guys and they're sufficiently blocked, I mean, Josh Allen is the deciding factor there. So I honestly really think that it's the Buffalo offense that wins this battle, the blitz versus the offensive line. And I think a lot of that does have to do with Josh Allen. So there's no statistics to back that up. He's just really, really, really good. So, yeah, he was check this out, 16 touchdowns to one pick when facing a blitz this season, even though the Broncos blitz at the fourth highest rate. So I think that Josh Allen will be the determining factor there.
Yeah, totally fair.
All right. So my question is obviously on the other side of the ball. The question is, who wins, Bo Nix or the Bills defensive secondary? There's a couple weird things here. Bo Nix targeted receivers behind the line of scrimmage at the third highest rate in the NFL. Bro is a check down. Bro was a screen pass merchant. Fourth most passes, seventh most touchdowns on those. But check this out. The Bills had four interceptions on passes behind the line of scrimmage this year.
Jeez.
That's twice as many as any other defense. And then Bo Nix face pressure in under 2.5 seconds at the second lowest rate in the NFL. The Bills defense generated the third highest quick pressure rate while blitzing at just the seventh lowest rate this season. So who wins, Bo Nix or the Bills defense?
I'm going to go slight edge to the Bills defense here. I'm not a big fan of their safeties, but I think their corners are pretty good. The Broncos don't really have a great receiving option outside of Cortland Sutton. And I think Christian Benford will probably shadow him. That'll be a pretty even matchup. Otherwise, I think Nix will have a tough time. I mean, it's a rookie in his first playoff start on the road in the cold, raucous environment. I do think he'll make some good plays because I think he is comfortable in this offense. Peyton has done a good job building the offense around what he does well. It's been a lot of, as you said, check down or touchdown, essentially. They don't do a whole lot of intermediate stuff.
It's check down or Marvin Mims is down there somewhere.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, Bo does love to huck it downfield, but he saves it for like four or five times a game. I think he'll make one really big play. He might throw for a couple touchdowns, but overall, I think Buffalo's defense will do plenty enough to get across the line.
I agree. I definitely agree. I think that it's going to be a sobering game for the Denver Broncos. And honestly, it's going to be a blowout, I think. I think the Bills are just that much better than the Broncos. But I still think this is a successful season for the Broncos. Like going to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. I think that that's a, I mean, that's a big deal. But here's the thing. If you discount the 38-0 against the guys from the parking lot in Chiefs jerseys, here's what they've done against playoff teams this year. They lost 6-13 against Pittsburgh. They beat the Buccaneers. They lost 16-23 against the Chargers. They lost 10-41 against the Ravens, lost 14-16 against the Chiefs. They were one of those he can't keep getting away with it games. And then there was one more. Oh, the Bengals. They lost 24-30. So they beat up on a lot of like not good teams that are sitting at home right now. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's going to be a bloodbath. Also, Josh Allen is incredible at home. So I'm sorry, not incredible at home. Incredible in the first round of the playoffs. So in his first round, whatever that might be, it's let's see. He has 2021, 324 yards, 2 touchdowns, 308 yards, 5 touchdowns in 2020, 2021, 2022, 352 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 2023 season, 203 yards, 3 touchdowns. It's going to be a bloodbath, folks. Bloodbath. That's why I'm starting on my one and done team, or our one and done team, with Josh Allen, and that's not negotiable.
That's fair. Yeah. Denver is a good defense on paper, so I don't think he'll be used very much, but mm-hmm. Buffalo's offense really isn't determined by if their receivers can get open.
No.
And that's the big thing that Denver's good at, is preventing receivers from getting open. So, yeah, I think Buffalo will be able to attack Denver's weak points.
Yeah, and they also tied a record for most players to catch a touchdown this year. The Bills did. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, you shut down this part of the field. Well, I've got all these other options. You know, I've got Mac Hollins and Amari Cooper and Keon Coleman. None of these guys are alphas, really, but they're all okay. They all can catch a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I got James Cook. I got Dalton Kincaid. I got Dawson Knox. I mean, plenty of guys to catch balls. Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, Ray Davis and Ty Johnson.
Ray Davis and Ty Johnson. There's plenty of guys that can catch footballs. So I really think that the Bills are just going to dive through this team. So final score prediction, 41-21. It's an absolute laugher.
41. That's a lot of points.
It is.
That is a lot of points.
I'm going 34-21 Bills.
31-14 Bills.
Ooh. And then I am counting on a pride of California, of pride of the Central Valley, Josh Allen, to avenge my blood feud against Sean Payton. So.
Wait, why do you have a blood feud against Sean Payton?
I've told you this story. When Evan Waleed and I went to when my wife's old company hooked it up and we got to go to Saints practice down in New Orleans. Yeah. He was like, there are some people off to the side. And he was like glad handing, shaking people's hands, all this stuff. And then Sean Payton looked at the three of us and was like, okay, and just kept walking. And I was like, whoa, okay. Guess who I hate forever now?
Goddamn, this guy's rude.
This guy is rude. All right. Not rude, Jimmy Graham. I got field passes, same hookup for the 49ers Packers NFC Championship game. And somebody was like, hey, Jimmy Graham. And he like looked at me, he's like, you're Jimmy Graham. And he was like, okay. He gave him a thumbs up, like, all right, man, cool, whatever you say.
Hey, do you know that you are this guy? It's like,
hey, man. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you,
anybody ever tell you you're Jimmy Graham?
Surprisingly, yes, a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's I've been hearing that all my life.
You're hearing all right, more and more, folks, that Jimmy Graham is Jimmy Graham. All
right. You know what you're hearing more and more? Packers at Eagles. Packers the 7 seed taking on the 2 seed Eagles. Packers are 11-6. Eagles are 14-3. Eagles 4-point favorites, 45.5-point over under. Injuries in this one: Christian Watson and Zane Anderson are out. Evan Williams, Quay Walker, TJ Slayton, Brenton Cox, Andre Dillard are questionable for the Packers. For the Eagles, Trevor Keegan and Byron Young are out. Walker, your question. Who is about wins? One man and one man only.
That's right. One man, two quarterbacks.
Inside you, there are two wolves.
Good Jordan Love or bad Jordan Love?
Look, all you need, Walker, when they were putting together their questions for this game, was like, look, all you need is love.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need. Bad Jordan Love, because bad Jordan Love always comes out in the playoffs.
Because except against the Cowboys.
Well, bad Jordan Love comes out when there's high pressure on, because Jordan Love is not a good decision maker. Mm-hmm. And so if a team puts it really to him to have him make decisions, he kind of overloads. And that's when you get the like falling away, throwing off his back foot across the field sort of nonsense. Because he's like, he'll see something out of the corner of his eye and be like, oh God, I gotta go over there. And that's when things get picked off. So I think bad Jordan Love is going to win in this one.
Totally fair.
Yeah, he's been pretty bad, especially when it comes with interceptions. He's had 11 and 15 games. And then you look on who he's facing in the Eagles, who are like 30th against quarterbacks in fantasy points allowed. So I know we're talking real, kind of more real football here. But,
yeah.
It's still a significant situation that you can see that the Eagles passing game, their defense is pretty solid. So I'm going to Jordan Love is going to get wrecked in this game.
So. Jordan Love, get wrecked, buddy.
Get wrecked.
That got me really good, Mike. just this you know, even keeled analysis, and they're like, yeah, he's going to get wrecked this game. He's gonna cry, folks. He's gonna shed tears on a football field. They call it going Caleb Williams mode.
I agree. I think it's gonna be more bad Jordan Love than good Jordan Love. My guess is that he'll throw a touchdown on like a weird crazy play, but that he will also make quite a few mistakes, take bad sacks, throw a pick, maybe fumble. Mm-hmm. I don't really think the Eagles offense is gonna do that much in this game either. Like, I would take the under,
mm-hmm.
but I Love's banged up. He's playing a good defense. I don't see it. I don't see the Packers getting to 20 points in this game.
Yeah, Love has been dealing with that elbow, but he's off the injury report. Yeah, I think there's going to be like one like bonkers, weird, crazy throw to like Romeo Doubs in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And he'll score a touchdown on it because Dobbs will like high point it or, you know, because Dobbs is good at that sort of thing. So I think that will happen. But I ultimately do think the Eagles, well, I guess bad Jordan Love wins out, not the Eagles defense. My question is, who wins the Eagles passing game or the Green Bay secondary? So Green Bay secondary will be without Jair Alexander. Jair Alexander was key in the last matchup when they played way back in week one. Does anybody remember where that game was played?
Sao Paulo.
That's right, baby. Sao Paulo, Brazil. Jair Alexander in their first game, had an interception, but also allowed four receptions for 108 yards and a touchdown against AJ Brown. So, very up and down there, but the Packers secondary this year has been, stifling. They've allowed a good number of touchdowns, 39 touchdowns, which is in the bottom half of the league. It's not among the league leaders, but they're only allowing 300. Oh, sorry, this is total touchdowns. I was gonna say 39 passing touchdowns is a lot. Anyways, they're allowing 39. They've allowed 39 total touchdowns and 314.5 total yards. But without Jair Alexander, do we think that the Eagles are going to attack with their passing game, or which is not as strong as their run game? So do we think that it's going to be the Eagles pass game versus the Packers secondary that wins today? Sorry, I'm distracted. My cat is going crazy behind me. But who wins? Eagles passing game or Green Bay secondary? Which Green Bay secondary has been good this year. Not great, but good. Allowing the 12th fewest fantasy passing points per game, passing yards per game. Jesus Christ. Sorry, Mike, everybody. My brain stopped working. My brain just shut down for a second.
It's Friday. You've had a long week. Right. Is Jalen Hurts going to play?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So,
Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, and Devon Smith all off the injury report. They're all going to play.
Sweet. Okay. So And that secondary, even because Jair Alexander's been in and out with injuries pretty much this whole season. I don't know how many games he's missed, but I know he's been, you know, been out and come back and been out again. But they really covered up pretty well. But Jalen Hurts, man, he can do it, as we all know, both in the air and with his legs. So I'm going to go Eagles passing game here.
Eagles passing game wins. Jair Alexander played 7 games this season, so just under half. Well, as much as you can do half for 17 games. Thanks, Roger Goodell. He made it 17 games, so we'd get so upset that we can't do half, that he could make it 18 games.
Yeah, they're gonna make it 18 because the NFLPA is eventually gonna cave and want the second bye.
Yeah. Also, breaking news: the Sacramento Kings have clawed their way back to 500. They are 19-19, riding a 6-game win streak. They win 114-97, taking down the Boston Celtics. Okay, sorry.
You know who else is 19-19?
Who's that?
The Detroit Pistons.
Let's go, baby. Let's
very,
go.
Very, very funny that they have the same record.
Yeah. Kings Pistons Finals. Who says no, baby?
Not me, baby. That would be fantastic. The Kings would win in 5.
Woo! All right, I'll take it. Mike, sorry that your boys were one of the games in the winning streak.
That's okay. The Warriors beat the Pistons like last night or something.
Okay. Yeah. So with that, I believe the Kings are now in the play-in tournament. Let's go.
Wow.
In like a week and a half, they've gone from, I think, 12th or 13th, and now they're in the play-in. So let's go, baby. Let's go, baby. All right. Saquon Barkley is going to have a huge game. There it is. I lost the show sheet.
Yeah, it's going to be a Barkley game, I think.
I think it's going to be a Barkley game. I think it's going to be 2 Barkley touchdowns. I think the Eagles ultimately win like 24-17.
That's almost exactly what I have. 23-17 Eagles.
Let's go.
I have Jake Elliott missing an extra point.
Way to go, Jake Smelliott.
21-17.
Okay.
We all have the Packers scoring 17 points.
All right. Put all your money, put your entire existence on Packers scoring exactly 17 points. What
could
go wrong?
Imagine if it hit, though?
Woo! Could you imagine?
if it hit.
Walker embodying the thought that goes through every gambler's brain.
Yeah.
Could you gambler's imagine house. If it hit?
Hey, that'd be sick if it hit.
That aka Jimmy Garoppolo's thought process.
Wouldn't this be cool?
Wouldn't this be cool?
Then it doesn't work, and he's like, "Well, I'm still handsome."
Yeah, it's actually that like, check this shit out, motherfuckers. I kick my leg out and fall on my ass.
It's not quite clear what kind of move I was trying to do.
That is the Jimmy Garoppolo move right there. All right. Any final thoughts on this game?
Fuck the Eagles, man, and the Packers. I hate both of these teams.
How about the Commanders and the Buccaneers?
Yeah, they're fine.
I got no beef. This is my no beef game.
No, only pork.
Only pork. But I don't eat pork. Only chicken.
Only fish.
Only fish. There we go.
We got chicken for, we got crab cakes for Washington, and we got some kind of, whatever kind of fish that you get in Tampa.
You got Gulf oysters, baby.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Crab cakes go. And Gulf oysters.
That's right. The Gulf of America.
God.
Somehow this will lower grocery prices. All right. Commanders, the 6 seed, traveled to Tampa Bay, the 3 seed, despite winning 2 more games of the Buccaneers on the season, because the NFL does things weird. Commanders
yeah,
were 12
wait
and 5.
Wait till the next one, buddy.
Yeah, that's true. Next one is really strange. Commanders are 12 and 5, Buccaneers 10 and 7. Somebody at work didn't believe me that the Vikings were a road team. Well, they're both road teams now, actually. So the gods evened it out. The gods smited LA for their hubris of hosting this game.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the Rams don't have a home field advantage anyway.
That's true. All right. 12-5 Commanders at 10-7 Buccaneers. Tampa Bay 3-point favorites, 50.5-point over under. This is this week's defense optional game. Commanders, Colson Yankoff.
Yankoff?
I'm just letting Yankoff sit there.
I'm not letting him just sit there.
Yeah,
he's yanking off, buddy. He's got to get out of here.
He's out yanking off. He's not playing this weekend.
Hamstring injury.
Yeah, hand
going
slash
ham
groin.
On that string, buddy.
Hand slash groin, the classic Jatavion Sanders injury. All right.
James
he's out.
Jameis
Crowder
also questionable with a hamstring injury.
Boy, what are they doing? For the Buccaneers, Troy Hill knee slash foot is out, but his shin's okay. It's just the knee and the foot.
Yeah, that is weird.
The shin's okay. My guess is he got rolled up.
Yeah, so it's like, foot stomped on, knee twisted.
Yeah, he's out. Jamel Dean, Mike Edwards, Logan Hall, Kate Otten, and Antoine Winfield are all questionable. So the questions for this one, Mike, your question is about the quarterback.
Yeah, who wins, rookie Jaden Daniels or Baker Mayfield? Daniels has two or more touchdowns in the last five games. He has a 100.1 QB rate with 25 touchdowns overall. And as you know, his ability to kill defense on the ground or in the air, he has 891 yards rushing this season. Lamar Jackson barely beat him out at 915, so he came in second. As far as Baker Mayfield goes, he did most of his damage, of course, through the air with 41 touchdowns and just 16 interceptions. Mayfield's passing rate is 106.8, and he has 2+ touchdowns in the last five games. Even though he doesn't run like Daniels, he can, and he finished 10th in yards rushing.
Really? 10th in yards rushing?
Well, yeah. For quarterbacks, but yeah.
Well, no, I didn't think 10th overall.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just wanted to make
Baker sure. Baker Mayfield, 1,200 yards rushing.
Right. Yeah. His teammate, I believe, finished 10th in rushing. I think
which
Bucky was 10th.
Bucky Irving?
Yeah, I believe.
Wow.
Fourth round pick, Bucky Irving, with over 1,100 rushing yards.
Did somebody say that Bucky Irving was going to be a league winner?
Did somebody say that? Did that same person say that Will Levis and Kirk Cousins were going to be league winners?
Quiet, quiet, quiet. That reminds me, trivia question I saw on TikTok. There are two players in the NFL with two team mascots in their name. Can you name them?
Two team mascots in their name?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. Neither is playing this weekend. But my joke answer was Buccaneers or Vikings. That's why.
Oh, geez.
That's what reminded me.
Can I have the positions? Of the players?
Both play wide receiver.
Both play wide receiver. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And? Come on, Walker. This is incredibly easy.
Isn't
you
it?
Got the hard one.
How did I get the hard St. Brown? It's in the last name.
Okay.
Is the other one Brown also?
Hey, is there any other St. Brown in the league?
Oh, Equanimeous is still playing.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah. I totally forgot Equanimeous was still in the league.
Equanimeous is still around? Holy
he's
shit.
He's a
Saints practice squad guy, I think.
Yeah,
now?
That sounds right. I wanted to say Saints practice squad, but my brain was like, no, that's just, you're just saying that because he has Saint in his name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do believe he's actually on the Saints, though.
Yeah. So next year he'll be in Cleveland. The prophecy fulfilled.
Correct.
All right. So to the actual question, who wins, Jaden Daniels or Baker Mayfield? I think Jaden Daniels. You've got like the Buccaneers defense is very, very optional. Jaden Daniels is the more dynamic of the two. Baker Mayfield is the better passer, like pure passer. He's more comfortable in he's very comfortable in the offense. But Jaden Daniels did stave off the Cliff Kingsbury curse, which might just be the Kyler curse at this point. I think we may have found the culprit, a culprit spelled with a K. So I think it's going to be very close. But I think that in terms of like if you watch the game and you say, OK, which quarterback had the more impressive game, I would probably say it would be Jaden Daniels. Just because of his escapability, he's going to have a big play to Terry McLaurin at some point. He's got Zach Ertz there. Zach Ertz's injury, that wasn't season ending, was it?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
No, I believe he played in the last game of the season.
Oh, man. Old guys out there holding it down. I do think if you watch the game, Jaden Daniels will have the more highlight plays. Like if you just watch and go, okay, who had a better game? It's going to be Jaden Daniels. But ultimately, I think that Baker Mayfield will have the more effective game just because he just kind of, like I say, there's there's going to be a Texas route touchdown to Rashad White, because there's one every week, every single week. Every single
week. Do not fact check.
Do fact check. Fact check me. People can't see it, but I put my fist up in the air.
He did do that.
Yeah. There's that.
Jeff's threatening me.
That's right. Go tell mom. Do it.
My mom's dead, Jeff.
Oh. That's okay. So is my dad. So we're even.
In the approaching Olympics, we are tied.
We are tied. Dude, if you want to talk about oppression Olympics, multiple people at work are adopted and multiple people at work are complete orphans. And I'm like, dang. Ooh,
God damn.
Dang. Yeah,
W in the chat for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that ultimately the Buccaneers win. I'll say touchdown to Mike Evans, rushing touchdown to Bucky, receiving touchdown to Rashad White. And they win. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be like 30-28.
328. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go. I think Jaden Daniels wins this matchup because I think Washington's going to win the game. I think this is going to come right down to the end. I've got it going into the last drive, 27-24. Jaden Daniels leads Washington down the field for a touchdown, wins the game 31-27.
Dang. So he's going to have another signature victory.
He's going to have another signature victory, and then he's going to go to Detroit and get his ass beat.
All right. Also, speaking of Detroit, I just want to say something. Walker, I want to say I appreciate you being like, hell yeah, the Lions are juggernauts. They're going to win it all. And if you don't like it, suck it. Because there are, I won't call anybody out, but if you go to our Discord, there are people who are like, the little plucky Lions, they're underdogs. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Hell no, they're not underdogs. Get out of here.
Yeah, Walker.
We're absolutely not underdog. We're the betting favorite to win it.
Yeah, the Walker's hubris that they will beat the Frogman is the correct stance to have as a Lions fan.
Yeah, it's like, we should be crowing like, hey, our team's really good and we're gonna do it.
Yeah, if you do anything other than that, you are being as annoying as Mike. I'm gonna throw your fan base under the bus. Warriors fans were when they were suddenly good.
Oh yeah, we were.
I love that. Like just immediately, like, oh yeah, for sure, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
We sucked.
Yeah. Living in the Bay Area at that time, it was basically like they'd be like, look how good the Warriors are. I was like, yes, that's good. They're like, don't you love them? They're a bunch of lovable scamps. I'm like, no, I don't love them. They're like, but you have to. Like, no, I don't.
No, I don't. I am a Kings fan. Shut up.
Yeah. So, yeah. I just would like to say Walker's stance refreshing. Walker's like, hell yeah, we're gonna beat your ass.
That's right.
That's how Lions fans should be.
I've never rooted for the juggernaut team before. It's really cool.
All right. Walker, your question back to this game is about a couple guys that I talked about, but also the checks notes, Bobby Wagner.
Well, I mean, to be fair to Bobby Wagner, he did actually play pretty well this season. Yeah. He played better this year for Washington than he did last year when he somehow was a second team All-Pro player.
I think he just had a lot of tackles last year.
Yes, absolutely true. But yeah, my question is, who wins Tampa Bay's running backs? As we know, that's Buccaneers Irving and Rashad White, or Washington's linebackers Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner.
Bucky Irving, next question.
Figured that'd be Jeff's answer.
He's the best player in the NFL.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
I like the Tampa Bay's running backs as well. They just got to win because I want to work next week. So, yeah.
What? Mike's pit completely self-serving.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
All right, like, Mike, what's your score prediction?
So I have
Mike.
Something to do.
Yeah.
34-30, Tampa Bay.
Ooh.
Okay.
As we all agree that this one's going to be a banger, which is, I'm very excited for this game.
This is the game of the week, in my opinion.
Me too.
Yeah.
And we get
Sunday Night Football for it, so it's going to be really good.
Dude, I have, much like last weekend, I will be waiting all day for Sunday.
It's going to be a nasty showdown.
the Bucks and the Commies in a nasty showdown.
Yeah, that's a shout out to Kevin Tompkins.
Do we think she'll call them the commies?
No.
Come on.
No, no. Bucks and the Commanders in a nasty showdown.
I gotta say, Sunday Night Football theme, not that part of it, but the actual, like, the horns. It gets me going every single time.
It's not bad. The, you know, bah, it's fun. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah. I'm like, yeah. Bah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, every time it gets
That's
me going.
That's good shit.
Yeah, I love it. It's better than the whatever the Prime stuff, the Prime Thursday night. Get that out of my face.
I don't even know what that one is.
It's just like, I don't know, just pull up like royalty-free football music on YouTube, and it's probably
it's actually our intro music. That's what the,
that's right. Music is. Also royalty-free. Let's go, baby. All right. I think Tampa's running backs win. I mean, does anybody have the other side of this?
I think Rashad White will be bad, and I think Bucky Irving bad. Will be good.
Well, he's good.
There you go.
I think Sean Tucker will get like one carry, maybe.
Yeah, one carry, 3 yards.
No, one carry. No, he'll get 2 carries, 1 yard, 1 touchdown.
That'd be funny.
Sean Tucker, baby.
Long of two.
Long of two. Let's go. All right.
All right. Final game. Moved by fire.
Moved by fire. Forged in fire. Vikings, 14-3, are the away team against the Rams, who are 10-7. But God said no.
Mm-hmm.
God said no. We can't
well,
have
really,
the Rams.
Really, I think it was Mother Nature more than anything.
God and Mother Nature are the same thing.
No, they're not. They're different.
Wow, Walker, besmirching my religion.
That's
this
right.
This thing that I just made up. Since it's been moved, Minnesota went from 1.5-point favorites to 3-point favorites.
Oh my God, shut up.
Are you telling me to shut up?
No, I'm telling the line to shut up. That's ridiculous. It doesn't change anything at all.
No, it doesn't. There's no official injury report for this game, but Aaron Jones was limited in practice and likely to play. And Blake Corum broke his arm, so Royce Freeman's back, baby.
Let's go.
Royce Freeman. Wow.
The most average player in NFL history.
Do you need 10 carries for 39 yards? Royce Freeman is your man.
He will not get that many touches.
Do you need that? And Royce Freeman is your man? You are already in trouble.
If they were starting Royce Freeman in this game, I would not be picking them to win.
No, absolutely not. All right. Mike, your question is about not Royce Freeman, but a guy who's slightly better than him.
Slightly, yes. Kyren Williams against the Vikings rush defense. In the earlier matchup this season, Kyren Williams totaled 116 yards, 97 of that coming on the ground. Williams finished 6th in points and had nearly 1,300 yards, rushing with 14 touchdowns, which was 6th in the NFL. Williams also totaled 5 touchdowns in the last 5 contests, scoring in four of those five. So he's been a touchdown machine in the last 5 games. As far as the Vikings goes, Vikings rush defense has been tough, only allowing the 7th fewest fantasy points. The defense only gets up 79 yards on the ground per game, which is 5th.
I'm making it a 6-pack. Kyren Williams, 6 games in a row with a touchdown.
I thought you were going to say Kyren Williams, 6 touchdowns.
No. Kyren Williams, 6th consecutive game with a touchdown, and I do think he goes triple digits rushing again, or total yards again. Minnesota's running game run defense got absolutely gashed last week, and I know it was Jahmyr Gibbs, who is a better player than Kyren Williams, not disputing that, but I do think Kyren Williams is good. He's a good tackle breaker. He's good out of the backfield, good pass protector. Just overall solid. The only thing he's not good at is not fumbling, really. That's his only problem. So I'm going to go Kyren Williams with the W there.
Okay. I'm also going to go Kyren Williams with the W, but I'm realizing we accidentally have 2 questions about the Rams offense.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, because I was going to say, we could talk about the Vikings offense. Who wins, Sam Darnold or the Ghosts?
Ah, yes. I'm going to go with both. I think they're both going to have their moments. I don't believe that Sam Darnold's performance last week is indicative of the quarterback that he is or how he's played this season. I really think it's more of an aberration than anything. He's actually been quite good against the blitz and pressure this season. Just he shit his pants last week, and it is what it is. I think that he will shit his pants a lot less in this game. And I don't really think the Rams defense is that good. Their secondary is young, a little bit banged up. They've been playing Akello Witherspoon a lot. Jeff knows all about that. Mm-hmm. I would say the front four will get pressure, but the back mm-hmm. seven will allow a lot of yards.
So interesting thing. Definitely didn't frantically find this statistic because I'm pivoting here. The Rams disguised their coverage by showing a different safety shell pre-snap than in coverage on 48.4% of dropbacks faced, the highest rate in the NFL. I think that's the kind of thing that can confuse the hell out of Sam Darnold. Never mind. I read more into the statistic. He is third in the NFL in touchdowns against this coverage. I do think that it's going to come down to just Justin Jefferson winning the day. Justin Jefferson enforcing his will.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to be pissed after last week because he got locked up by Amik Robertson.
Yeah, and that's not going to happen this week. Amik Robertson does not play. Robertson does not play for the Rams, so that will not happen this week. Correct. Isn't Amik Robertson a short king too? Is he like 5'9"?
He's 5'8 on a good day.
Woo! He's got that Kyler Murray build. Justin Jefferson was targeted 41 times under pressure, the most by any quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL. And he had 401 yards, which led the NFL in that statistic. And Darnold threw to Jefferson 45 times on third or fourth down, the third most about among quarterback wide receiver duo, scoring six touchdowns on such passes. So really, it doesn't matter what Sam Darnold's doing because he's saying, screw it, Justin Jefferson's down there somewhere. Quick question for you both. Who is the NFL leader in passing yards per game in the playoffs of all time, minimum five games played?
I'm going to say that Jeff's asking this question for a reason, and that it's Brock Purdy.
Mike?
Colin Kaepernick.
It is. Stat Padford, baby.
Oh, 308
yards per game. Wow. 307.9. The most in NFL history among all players who have played at least five playoff games.
And I can't say I'm shocked. I mean, he typically does come up big when it matters.
Yeah, and he chucks the ball all over the field. And last time they played this season, 279 passing yards, four touchdowns. And that's why I'm changing my decision to the Rams. I had the Vikings. I'm going Rams, baby. I forgot they already beat the Rams this year. Or the Rams already beat the snot out of the Vikings this year, 30-20.
Yeah, I'm going Rams as well. I think a little lower scoring. I'm going 24-19 LA.
27-20 Minnesota.
Oh, damn. Mike's going skull.
Yeah.
Mike's going skull mode. All right. So we are going to build the
one and done lineup.
The one and done lineup. So it's nine players. Check this out. It's eight players and a coach.
Oh.
If you get a win, you get, I think it's 15 points for the coach. If you don't win, you get no points. So what we have to figure out, we're going to start with the coach. So we have to pick a team that we think is going to win this week, but lose next week.
John Harbaugh.
I think that's a great, John Harbaugh.
Yeah, because he's going to play the Bills next week if he wins.
Who does Jim play?
Well, Jim would play the Chiefs. But I'm less sure that the Chargers will win than the other two teams.
I'm pretty sure the Chargers are going to win. Mike, you're the tiebreaker. Which Harbaugh are we going with, Jim or John?
I think I'd rather go Jim.
All right. Walker, denied.
Right. Yep. Jimmy it is.
Okay. So I'm going to make an executive decision here. So I have decided for quarterback, Until the Super Bowl, I'm only picking from the AFC. And I already told you both. Josh Allen is the choice there. There's no choice. I'm putting my foot down. It's Josh Allen.
I mean, I'm not going to say no to Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen or Kyle Allen?
Gonna have to go with Josh on that one.
Okay. So, all right. We've got Jim Harbaugh, Josh Allen. And then I like to start with the guys that could potentially not have anybody to play at that position. So that's coach, quarterback, and defense. Like, if I get to the Super Bowl, I'm going to be boned if I don't have a team there. So what defense do we think we should play this week? I'm trying to stay all in one division as well. I would probably say NFC just because the offenses are a little less dangerous on that side of the ball that will make it through the playoffs. Actually, no, they're pretty good. Lions, I mean,
Rams. Do you trust the Eagles to get to the NFC Championship game?
Do I trust them to get to the NFC Championship game? Trust is a hard word.
So maybe we go with the Eagles against a banged up Jordan Love.
All right. That we already said Jordan Love's going to do something stupid.
Right.
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So Eagles, we don't think are getting to the championship game. So, okay, let's save the lineup. We've got, oh boy, now I got to log in again.
Brutal.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to anybody.
Unbelievable.
Now it's saying commission. Now it's saying commissioner's access is required. Oh my God. All right. Brian Sklar, what are you doing to me? All right. So we got Josh Allen. We got Jim Harbaugh and we got the Eagles defense. So for the other positions, we need to have at least one tight end, at least one running back and at least two wide receivers. And it's Jim Harbaugh. I have to do this manually. Because Sklar screwed me. Brian screwed. Harbaugh, Josh Allen. And we're going Eagles DST?
Yep. All
right. And so we need, one running back. We need two wide receivers. We need a tight end. And so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And we need two flexes.
Okay. I think we should probably just go with one tight end.
I think so, too. And I actually have kind of I think I know who I want to go with.
Let me see. What are my options here?
Yeah, let me.
Yeah. I mean, I have an idea. I want to hear Mike's idea first, though, for tight end.
A tight end? Oh, geez. Andrews, I think it's that, or Zerts.
Walker, what do you think?
Neither of those were actually my suggestion, but I don't. What
was your suggestion?
I don't mind Ertz though. I was thinking maybe Hawk.
Hawk, I was going Mark Andrews.
Okay.
No Zay Flowers.
Yeah, true.
I mean, true. He's gonna have a choice.
He's caught a touchdown in like a million straight games.
Yeah, and Lamar Jackson's gonna have his choice between Mark Andrews or Rashad Bateman or Mark Andrews or Tylan Wallace, not Deontay Johnson.
No, nope. Justice Hill.
Yeah. So I think Mark Andrews is our tight end.
Yeah. I mean, two out of three, you guys said, so we'll go with Andrews.
All right. So we've got at least one running back this week. So let me run down. I'm just going to run down by projected points. Mm-hmm. We got Henry, Saquon, Bucky, Mixon, James Cook, Josh Jacobs, Kyren, Aaron Jones. I think we got some good options for running backs that are not going to make it very deep or could be done this week. I personally said Joe Mixon just because I'm very confident in the Texans getting bounced. Mm-hmm. But I would defer to either one of you guys if either one of you had a better idea of somebody that you might want.
I mean, I was thinking Bucky.
Bucky.
Because I think the Buccaneers win probably one game max. And this is also not a good defense that they're playing. I think it's probably the worst defense they could play all playoffs. So I think you get a Bucky game out of the way early.
Okay, so kind of lock in a Bucky game?
Right.
All right, Mike, what do you think?
I like that Bucky call. Yeah.
Okay. Well, guess who's going in one of the flexes then?
Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon, baby.
That's fair.
All right. Joe Mixon into one of the flexes. All right. I almost said Joe Fixon. All right. So we need two wide receivers.
Well, so, you said Nico for one of them.
Nico for one of them. So we'll go Nico for one of them. And then, so just projections on guys this week. You got Mike Evans, Puka Nacua, Cortland Sutton, A.J. Brown, Ladd, Bateman, Scary Terry, Jordan Addison, QJ, Jalen McMillan.
I like McMillan. Khalil Shakir.
See, I'm thinking like McMillan too. I think we'll go two J's. Justin Jefferson, Jalen McMillan.
Dang. So we're going Justin Jefferson and then Jalen McMillan in flex?
I like that. And then we have, what, one more player to pick?
Oh, that's everybody.
Oh, that is?
Yeah. One, two, three. Because I need two flexes. So our team would be Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Buccaneers Irving.
Yep.
Nico.
I like it.
Justin Jefferson.
I like that a lot.
Mark Andrews. Mm-hmm. Walker Silent. Joe Mixon. Jalen McMillan. And the Eagles DST.
I mean, pretty stacked lineup, I'm not going to lie.
I like it. Mike, what do you think?
Well, what about I like McMillan, but what about McConkey over McMillan? Or no?
Well, I don't mind that either, to be honest. I mean, if Mr. McMillan is saying maybe we should go with somebody else over McMillan,
that's
I think we might want to listen.
All right, I'll defer to Mike on this one. Yeah, he is Mr. McMillan. So we're gonna go Rad McConkey in the last one.
Here's something. Did you guys know that Ladd McConkey was 10th in the NFL in receiving yards this season?
What?
Yep. Four of the top 10 in receiving yards were rookies.
Jeez. That's crazy.
BTJ Killer, Brock Bowers, and Malik Nabers were the other three.
BTJ wow. Killer, baby. Wow. Who again? Who said who was hyped on BTJ Killer?
You and a guy from some website. I can't even remember what website it was. I think it was Fantasy Pros or Underdog, maybe. Some guy before the season was like, I think Brian Thomas Jr. is I would take him over Christian Kirk straight up. And my reaction to that was, you're a dumbass. And it turns out I'm the dumbass.
Yeah. Double dumbass on you. Anybody? Anybody?
I don't know.
Dumbass on you? Dang. That is from Star Trek IV, The Wrath of Khan.
You had to know I wasn't going to get that.
Oh, God. Walker, it's so good. They go to San Francisco. They save the whales.
They do.
They go to 1980 San Francisco and save the whales.
My girlfriend would love that because she's a big whale chick.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. All right. I was able to submit the lineup.
Yes.
All right. So, Brian Sklar, you are off my hit list.
Yeah, defeated.
Defeated. All right. We will be back next week. We will talk about the remaining games, the divisional round games, and then we'll talk about to review these games. What we're going to do is same thing we do every year, which is how does this team that lost take the next step? So that's how we'll review the game, and then we'll talk about the next game.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
reminding my co-host live on air how we do this.
Hey, wait a second. How? What?
Definitely wasn't reminded when I went to go back and went, oh yeah, that's how we do that. Okay. Got it. All right, cool. All right, so for Mike and Walker, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care. And if your teams are in the playoffs, good luck, unless they're the Packers or Eagles. Goodbye.
Bye.
That's me. My team's in the playoffs.